So here in Alabama, we're supposed to be the gold standard of election integrity. Our machines are state of the art. Well, we're bringing on Angela Shepherd, and she's going to tell us the story of how she took photocopies of an absentee ballot, multiple photocopies of an absentee ballot that she cut with scissors and ran them through the machine at the public testing of the machines, and they counted them. We have an incredible culture here in the state of Alabama, but our politics and public policy don't reflect the people of Alabama. Media drives culture. Culture is what drives politics and public policy. Welcome, everyone, to 1819 News, the podcast. I'm Brian Dawson, CEO of 1819 News and host of this here podcast, where we are in pursuit of a free and flourishing Alabama every single week. We have a great episode for you today. We have the crazy ballot lady, as she is affectionately known by Scott Beeson here at 1819 News, Angela Shepherd, who's been scrutinizing the election process in the state of Alabama since 2021. Most notably, she ran photocopies, and I think she hand scissor cut the photocopies through the machines when they were doing the machine testing. She took photocopied ballots that she hand cut and ran them through the machine, and the machines accepted them as gospel truth ballots. And that's a problem. And so that's probably her claim to fame, but she's also been busy doing all kinds of other stuff, legislation, as it pertains to making our elections as safe and secure as they possibly can be. We've been told that Alabama is the gold standard for election integrity. Sounds good, but wouldn't you rather make sure that we're actually the gold standard? And even if we are the gold standard, is there still room that we could be even more safe and even more secure in these very interesting times where everything is tested and stretched to the max on what people can get away with and everything else? So I'd say the answer is yes, and that is what Angela is busy doing. So before we jump into that, though, I want to tell you guys, whatever podcast platform you guys are on, please, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Rumble, go there, like it, follow it, subscribe to it, click the bell to make sure you get notifications, whatever it is that you can do on that platform, your preferred podcasting platform, click something so that you're getting notifications when we publish content so you don't miss anything. Share this on social media, let your friends know about it so our word of what we're doing gets out farther and farther. Word of mouth is how podcasts grow. And so we need you guys to help doing that. And also, we're going to be doing an overtime segment that's basically how I think they stole the 2020 election. And I'm going to give my theories and she's going to give hers. And we'll go back and forth until we run out of theories or time, whichever comes first. And so that will be fun. In order to have access to that, you need to become a member to get access to that, as well as all of our other overtime segments, behind the scene content, as well as really cool merch that comes with becoming a member. But more than anything, you get to support citizen-supported journalism, citizen-supported news, citizen-supported media in a world filled with corporate-sponsored journalism. We don't know what happened with COVID. Brought to you by Pfizer. So that's not us, right? We're citizen-supported, so you know that we're going to dig for the truth because you guys are paying our bills. Therefore, we're incentivized to serve you and not our corporate sugar daddies. So please go on, become a member, do that today. So without any more of my spiel, let's jump right in. Angela, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. And so if you've watched our podcasts, you would know that we usually start with people's stories. That's something we like to do. And so just tell us a little bit about yourself and how on earth you got into stuffing photocopied ballots into machines. Like, so how did you go from wherever to there?
Well, so just a little backstory. I live in Auburn, Alabama. And so after the 2020 election, or actually prior to the 2020 election, I should say, I did not care about elections. I didn't really, like, I always would ask my husband, who do you vote for? Who do I vote for? Yeah. And things like that. So I never really...
It's a good thing for a wife to do.
Yes, exactly. Well, now the roles are reversed. But anyway, it's okay. So yeah, so that was just kind of where I was. I didn't really, like, I just was not interested. I was being a mom. I have four children. And yeah. So I was, you know, loving that. And so anyway, after 2020, I was like, hold on. Like, Georgia is where I was born and raised and have spent majority of my life. And so I was like, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah.
And so I told my husband, I was like, it's time to move back. We got to go back. We'd only been in Auburn, I think, at that time, like maybe 3 or 4 years. He's like, no, we're not moving back. And I'm like, okay. So I just sort of started figuring out really like what's going on. And so to just try to get involved locally, that's really where it all began for me. So I'm in Lee County. And so I started there actually attending a Republican like women's lunch. And from that lunch, I met a friend of mine who then introduced me to someone who worked in our elections in Lee County at the time. And so that was in August of 21. And from there, it has just been like just crazy. The things, just learning really just the basics of elections and how elections are so entirely different in every state. I had no idea. I mean, yeah. I just was so naive. And so just from there, that's really where it started. And I just started like asking him questions like, hey, what is this? And just kind of really taking this all in. And he is a lawyer as well. So he understood law plus elections. And so that was just really the jump start for me. And then, of course, like you have already mentioned about the copied ballot. So sure. Anyway, I was going to be a poll watcher. So I requested my absentee ballot. And I had a friend was like, hey, why don't you copy your absentee ballot? You know, and I'm like, okay, all right, let's do it. So we did 8 copies on flimsy copy paper. And then no one knew I was doing it. So we went to the public testing in May of 22. And when I went in there, no one knew. I had my envelope full of like all these copies and I'm scared to death. And anyway, and so I went up to the tabulator. It was a little bit of a, machine testing, typically, depending on the county that you're in, it's usually run very, like, I guess, you know, they have things very organized. Yeah. Ours was not. So it allowed me to be able to do this. So anyway, I did not ask permission. I need to make that clear. But because of the way it was being run, I was like, well, I'm just going to go. So I went up to the tabulator and it did not fit. And I freaked out and I'm like, oh my gosh, run down the hall, get the scissors, start trimming the sides of it.
Sounds like a kindergarten, like arts and crafts fair.
It was like that. Yes. Yeah. And I'm on the floor, like literally cutting it. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And no one's really even knowing what I'm doing. That was like the bet. Like no one knew. I had one person that was filming me.
Yeah.
But other than that, nobody knew. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I get the ballots all cut and trimmed up, whatever. And I start running them through. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're taking it. Every one of them.
And worth noting, so let's pause. The machines, like, so as they're out selling how great the machines are and how safe our elections are and how super secure everything is and how we're the gold standard. I could go on and on doing this, right, for days about how they do that. One of the ways in which we're told that our, because I think we have process problems, we have hardware problems, we have software problems, I think is kind of how I break it down. And this would be a hardware problem. And, you know, there's, you know, questions about can it be kicked up to the internet? We'll get into all of that. But the one thing they tell us is that this is like special ballot paper that's got, you know, whatever, and it would never take, you know, just paper that's got it's got a super reader thing in there that's high tech that, you know, they're basically saying that there's no way you could print a fake ballot and run it through there and it would take it. I forget the words they used, but it was very much like, you know, that can't happen. It's got something like when you put the dollar, you know, that I think that's what they use. So when you stick a dollar in a vending machine, how does it know it's not just a piece of paper and that it's a dollar? Well, it's got some sensor.
It does.
It's just like that on the voting tabulators.
Yeah.
Just taking the hand cut, photocopied on crap paper ballots. The machine just gobbled them up and tabulated them.
Yeah. It was quite crazy. And I mean, and everybody there was like, oh my gosh, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, surely the chief election official is going to freak out too, right? He was not interested. He kind of dismissed me. The ESNS representative that was there that day was like, it can't happen. I mean, everybody's watching. And you can look at these ballots. And I'm like, sir, I don't know that you know our statute, but you're not allowed to do that. Yeah. So that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so anyway, with that, then of course it went up the rank. I mean, you know, the chain of command here in Alabama, all the way up to the Secretary of State at the time, you know, and it took off. I mean, it was crazy. It was like, they were like, pump the brakes on that. If you have anyone that comes into these, because there were still counties that had not done their public testing yet.
Sure.
So that definitely like close that door.
Wasn't there someone in South Alabama that ran a similar? Yes.
So a friend of mine, Jason, actually ran them too. He wasn't it. Now he did the thing. His probate judge down there did it in the right way, in organized fashion. And he asked and he was able to, but he was not able to video it. So the only video that I'm aware of is mine. Even other people, I think maybe someone did it in another state. But anyway, it was.
So, and this is the ES&S machine.
Yeah, this is the DS200 tabulators that currently majority of the state of Alabama, or all of Alabama, I'm pretty sure uses these.
So I want to run something by you and I want your thoughts. So we've been covering shenanigans in the state of Alabama for coming up on 3 years. And there's something that always happens, and I'll just give you an example. I'm not even going to talk about it, but there was some critical race theory, gender pronouns stuff that was being taught on graded assignments in Prattville. We got information. We did a story. A bunch of parents showed up to the school, the school board meeting with their pitchforks, metaphorically, and they were upset, as they should be. And then they told Craig, a reporter, told him another story that was much more disturbing, involving what a young boy was doing in front of girls in a classroom that was extremely inappropriate, and that the school did not tell the parents, and to our knowledge, they did not expel the child for this, the teen. Instead, they swept it under the rug. So the point I'm getting at, and this is one of a million examples that we have, is the self-protecting nature of these bureaucracies and these offices. Like, any person in their right mind that saw you put those just rinky-dink, hand-cut, photocopied ballots into an ES&S, you know, super tabulator or whatever, and you put it in there, like, that person should have been like, oh my gosh, we need to look into this. But that's not what they do. They always go into self-protection, self-protecting bureaucracy, rather than, oh my gosh, we really need to look into this. It's never that. It's, hey, we need to tell the parents. Nope, we need to sweep this under the rug. There's this weird thing, no matter where we shine a light, no matter what happens, every time there's an instance that happens, there's the obvious response. They never do that.
Yeah.
They do the self-protecting.
That's a good way to,
right? And so what could they have done in that instance, do you think?
I mean, kind of what you're saying. I would have thought, you know, go to the Secretary of State. But then from there, I would think that, you know, we are using a vendor, right? We're using ES&S. And, you know, to me, I'm thinking, don't come after the people, right? Yeah. I mean, we just proved that this can be done. Now, they could have already known this could be done and did nothing about it until I brought it really more into the light. But the fact is that they... just like you're saying, they kind of swept it under the rug, made it seem like, oh, that can't happen. We're going to put, you know, people in different precincts and all that kind of stuff. And I really, the point of it wasn't to say, I think people are going around the state of Alabama, putting 50 ballots and bringing them into precincts and stuffing them in those tabulators. I'm not saying that. My fact was that it was supposed to be 80-pound cardstock, certain ink. I did it on flimsy copy paper, and I proved that these machines that we lease to the state of Alabama, you know, from ES&S to our state, and it's not doing what it's saying it should be doing.
Right.
And why are we not looking into that instead of coming at me, who's a voter and a concern, like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. What could we do? Yeah. No, we're going to go at you, attack you, come at you, make sure that this doesn't happen again, sweep it under the rug and hope that you go away. Well, here I am almost 2 years later. I'm not going away. And I'm trying to push legislation that will hopefully down the road even help this be even more like taken care of or looked into. So,
and this is the way my brain works, and maybe it's why I run a news company. But when I see such a glaring, obvious problem, so our machines don't take fake ballots because of whatever they explain it, then you prove that they do. What else are they lying to us about? Right. And then it's like, oh, well, they don't actually hook up to the internet, except that one that's got the modem cord. I'm not saying there. I'm just like all these other things that they're telling us about the hardware. Well, if the one thing that they said for sure couldn't happen happened, what that automatically does is like, OK, well, now I don't believe anything you're saying. Right. And so, you know, and I think another thing, and we could probably, and I guess that's what a podcast is, we can ramble on and on about this, but One of the things that I think, and I have a lot of friends that are conservative that don't agree with me on the Alabama problem, I believe, especially in presidential elections, so let's say Trump is on the ballot like he's going to be. If Trump is on the ballot, as long as Trump wins by 90% in Alabama, no one's going to question what happens under there. And so there's all these shenanigans that could be going on underneath Trump's 90% victory or whatever, maybe 60, 80, whatever. As long as Trump wins in a landslide and people see that, they're like, oh, everything's okay in Alabama. It's like, okay, well, there was, not this last election, maybe it was the election before that, whatever. I mean, there's Senate seats, there's House seats, there's state reps, there's state senators, there's Secretary of States, whatever. There's all these different offices that could be affected down ballot. But as long as that presidential thing looks right, everyone just looks at it and like, oh yeah, it's gospel truth because Trump won. And of course Trump won, but we don't, So anyway, that's my thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess you could look at it that way. I mean, I think Alabama in and of itself being a red state and a super majority Republican in the House and Senate, then therefore, I know, but that's what they say. And that's why they don't, that's why I think it's easier for them. We're not as bad as Georgia, or correct, we don't have these issues. Yeah. But my thing is you still need to be prepared. Okay. Yeah. So we're not there, but does that mean that we don't put in guardrails so that we don't get to that point? Because Georgia got to the point they are probably because they got lax in certain areas and allowed for certain things to happen. And
Georgia thought they were never going to not be red.
Yeah.
Colorado used to be ruby red.
Wow.
Now it's like blue. That's where I moved from, was Colorado. So all these things, oh, we're in Alabama, that'll never happen here, right? And then I always say, when that which will never happen here happens here again, is what we report on the news, right? That would never happen. We would never have people, children show up saying that their cats are furries and need a litter box in the bathroom, and then it happens. And right. And it's like, sure, that will never happen here. Well, it keeps on happening. And so we think that we're immune from all these other issues that these other states have because we're Republican, and it's like, okay, well, anyway, it's something I could rattle on and on about, but it is, that is us thinking that we're immune to issues because of where we are and who we supposedly are. I think leaves us even more open rather than being like, hey guys, that happened to them, it could happen to us. Let's fortify our voting system. Let's fortify our borders. Let's fortify and look in everything to make sure that stuff doesn't get here. But that's never what it is. It's a lazy response. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree. It's
all right. So that's the, and real quick, I think before we move on, I want to just play the video of the machine testing. So you guys go ahead and take a look at that.
It's counting them all.
So in other words, you can make copies
yes,
of one ballot, yes, and send them through.
Just send them through. So this, yep, is why we need to be watching, yes, to make sure that they're only putting one ballot through.
Have you gotten your letter yet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So that's why we do all
just
of these.
Just to feed them.
So something
all these copies. Mm-hmm. All of these are copied ballots.
And
it's not even the same.
It's not even the same cardstock.
Yeah, the thickness is just regular Xerox paper. Nothing fancy.
Here you go. Insert it, Debbie.
Because we test what we're doing here, what y'all are doing here, what we're doing back there.
There you go.
All right. So, pretty bizarre, and definitely worth looking at. Is there do you have that on YouTube somewhere or?
No, I do not actually. I just
get a website and put it on there.
I know. Well, and I do have a Voters for Election Integrity website that, so I was on with Emerald Robinson, and it is on that, that clip that I did with her. So people can go on and click. If you do go to, votersforelectionintegrity.com, they can click on, there's a video down in that thing, and that does have the video. But as far as the video is standalone, I do need to work on that though, and put that on there.
Get a place where you can have a link.
For sure.
Well, good stuff. You guys got to see the video. It's alarming, and hopefully something is being done about it. So let's talk about the post-election audit bill and the legislative process.
Yeah, so something I really wanted to focus on this podcast is the post-election audit bill that we have been tirelessly working on to bring it back this session. We brought it last session at the end of the session, the last 4 weeks. It was not perfect by any means, but we felt like we had a lot of bipartisan people that were, they were behind it in support. And so we, a representative, Debbie Wood, was the sponsor of the bill, and we got it. It was HB 457 in last session, in the 23 session, and we got it into the elections committee. I know there's a longer word for that committee, but so that, and it passed 13-0 unanimously. So, you know, it was obviously, it was obvious to me that, like, okay, these people really think this might be good. And now after the session ended, we realized that we were the one of the last states to, well, we are the last state currently that does not have a post-election audit in some capacity. Now,
what was your legislating wow, words are hard today. What is your legislation proposing?
So, we've changed it quite a bit. It has gone from 20% of precincts to 20% of precincts in one race to 10%, at least 10% of precincts in two races, in each countywide race and a statewide race. And then now we have just dropped it yesterday to LSA, and it is down to two precincts, one countywide race and one statewide race. So when you are working legislation, I was sharing with you earlier, it is a long process, and especially, in my opinion, a good bill. And it takes time, and it takes a lot of energy and meeting with people and explaining what you're trying to do and why it's important and all those things. Because a lot of times, as you know, I mean, they don't have the legislators don't have the time to sit down and read every bill, you know, that comes across. So we put together like a fact sheet and an overview sheet so that they can kind of just look and see why we feel like this is important for the state of Alabama. Sure. And so anyway, we just dropped it yesterday. Like I said, it's in LSA. As soon as it gets a number, we're going to start shooting it out, you know, as far as we can, because we're going to need support. We've been having, you know, a little bit of back, you know, some of our elected officials are pushing back on us on it just because they're like, I don't know if I want you touching ballots and all of the things. And we're like, look, this is what a post-election audit looks like. I mean, you can do them in different ways. And we feel like we've compromised enough. We brought it all the way down to two. So that means counties like Jefferson County and Madison County that have a lot of precincts will only have to do two. And you're only looking at such a small race. We really almost took the pilot audit that they did in 22 and we added to it and made it in a little bit more meatier as far as like if you find something. Because in that 22, the pilot audit, they did find there was a vote flip in the governor's race, but there was nothing in the bill stating what they would do if they found something. So we felt like this was a good bill moving forward, you know, that we felt like was a good enough compromise for us without us compromising an actual audit, because some of them wanted us to put back the ballots through the machines. And it's like, well, that's a recount. We're not going to do that. We are trying to accomplish looking at the tabulation tape that comes out from that tabulator, the DS-200, and these ballots that are underneath those DS-200s at the end of the day. I mean, so.
Does it include like looking at signatures on, you know?
No, we're not doing any of that. I mean, there's no signatures that you would be seeing on the ballots. There's nothing on the ballots except for when the bubbles that are, you know.
I'm just thinking as far as like, you just the thing that you photocopy, like if you're an absentee ballot, there's not like signatures.
Okay, so this bill actually does not cover absentee. We only did the precincts. Okay. Absentee in and of itself is an animal that we're not tackling quite yet. Yeah. We could get into that. Now that might be an area where you could do what I did. Yeah. I mean, and I think I've actually, when I was on with Scott Beeson and them last year, I talked about that there was a case, I think in Perry County, where a commissioner, now I don't know the ins and outs of what that actually he was accused of doing or whatever, but it had something to do with absentee. Now, whether or not he did what I did as far as copying an absentee ballot and just feeding it through, or if he maybe took more ballots, because that's the thing, the DS-200s don't recognize if you've already put that ballot through.
Yeah.
So you could just take one ballot and run it through over and over and over again. And if you're an absentee or if you're in a smaller, you know, precinct, people are not really paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see how that could happen.
What are your thoughts on going back to, you know, paper ballots and obviously photo? I think everyone's for photo ID, right? I think that's very common sense. What do you think about going back to paper ballots? What do you think the solution is? If Angela Shepherd could snap her fingers and make everything the way she wants it, you're Secretary of State now and you have all the power in the world, what do you do?
Wow, that's a loaded question because I'm feeling a lot of pressure on different ends of, you know, the paper ballots. I mean, we just passed that law last session, you know, that we will be using paper ballots. So in my opinion, Alabama does have that and that is good. But we've got to look at the paper. You can't just have the paper and just assume that the paper is correct just because you're being told it is, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess if I could snap my finger and be Secretary of State or Madam Secretary, as Greg Phillips liked to call me, I would say that Title 17 really needs to be amended in a lot of ways. Title 17 is large with a lot of election codes that need to be updated to catch up with where we are with our data and the technology that we are currently using in our elections. It does need to be updated. So I think I would work on that because the thing about it is, and I want to reiterate to people that are out there, you know, the hand counting and all of that, while that is great. And like this audit bill does, you know, it does give us a baby step into that because it is a hand count of a small percentage, mind you, but it is touching that paper. But I would say that our statutes do not allow currently under our state law does not allow you to do just hand counting in the state of Alabama. Based upon what I've been able to read, based on, you know, it's like Title 17 is like, you know, you can only start counting these ballots at the end of the night, at the close of precinct, and you have 2 hours to get your results. You know, some counties cannot, there's no way, there's too many ballots, it would take a long time. So there's just a lot of amendments, I think, and laws that need to get, you know, to where I would think would be a great place to be, but I feel like that the post-election audit bill is a great beginning.
Okay. So would you change it to where you stop counting at 3 a.m. and let everyone go to bed and then they wake up and Joe Biden's winning?
Oh, no, okay, no. So, well, I like this. I mean, that 2 hours is not bad. I mean, because people they want the results immediately, right? I mean, we're like, we're just instant.
Absolutely
not. That was
insane. I wasn't super close watching elections since I was a kid or anything, but I watched enough and I've never seen that. And that was,
It made me think maybe they did that. You know, like all the U.S. Post Office, all bringing in all those ballots. I was thinking, okay, those are either copied ballots. You know what I mean? I don't know what they were what they were doing. I mean, who knows? So
a lot of the saying where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a bunch of smoke and appears to be a bunch of fire. But we're going to talk about that in the overtime segment. So, so that's interesting. I never heard of Title 17. I didn't know any of that. And so, it sounds like there's just a bunch of stuff that needs to be updated. To your knowledge, has Wes Allen said anything about updating that stuff?
He actually did say something about Title 17. Last year, he was talking about that. Now, if he's began doing that, I'm not aware of it, but I do know that he does know that Title 17 does need to be updated. There's also, so Title 17 is our election law. The administrative code is 307, which is, again, it's an election. It kind of takes Title 17 and it digs it a little bit deeper than what the law is saying, but it's still an administrative code that probate judges, the chief election officials of the state should follow. And it needs to be updated too. So, you know, and it's a lot, it's complicated. I'm not a lawyer. I've learned a lot about the law over the last 2 years. I'm not an expert, but just from what I can see, you know, for me, it's about facts and what can I do? What do I need to focus on that I can see success? And right now in my vision, I can see, okay, we have support, we have pretty high ranking support for this post-election audit bill. That's a step in the right direction in voter integrity and just making sure that we are transparent and accurate in our election results.
I like it. Well, that's good. And I think, you know, one thing I always give with Wes through this whole thing, I always have given him the benefit of the doubt because the one thing he said he was going to do on the election trail, the very first thing I'm going to do is get us out of the ERIC system and create our own state-based system. And the very first thing he did was he did that, right? And so one thing I have learned, everyone wants me to go investigate everything everywhere. And at the end of the day, I only have five reporters. I've got, you know, three editors, five reporters. We only have so much bandwidth. There's only so much you can do. And, you know, Steve Marshall's office only has so much bandwidth. Wes Allen's office only has so much bandwidth. And so I would love to hear, I guess next time I talk to him and bring him on, I'll make sure to ask and see where that is in the priorities. Because I wasn't even aware of it. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, that it's pretty important, you know, because you're using old statutes, but you've changed a lot in how the elections are run. So I think it's important. And I think they all know it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just doing it. It's a lot of work. I mean, it almost would be like needing to be some kind of like special session almost, or some kind of, you know, my thing is, I think we almost need like an election commission in the state of Alabama. That's what I would love to see us move to, so that there's people that are, I mean, there is a staff, Jeff Elrod, who's great with the elections, and their staff is great, but it would even be better to have even more people across the state that this is what they do full time.
Greg to be on it.
Greg Phillips.
Yes, Greg Phillips, yes. Chair of the, election commission.
For sure. He would be a good one for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Angela Shepherd, for coming on. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, guys, that'll wrap up the regular segment, but make sure you go and give me some money so that you can watch this incredible behind the scenes we're going to be doing. We are going to talk about our theories on what happened in the 2020 election. Was it stolen? Was it not? Was it what kind of shenanigans and chicanery was it? We're going to be going through our theories, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun. So go and do that. Go to the website, 1819news.com. Click the button, become a member. Membership start as little as $5 a month. Please go do that and support citizen-supported journalism. Until next time, put your trust in God and keep your powder dry.